And he tells us in, for instance, Revelation 22, that we're not to add to those original words or take from them. He says, I testify unto every man, verse 18, I testify unto every man that hears the words of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this book of life, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written therein. So, you know, it's very, very important that people don't add to or take away from what's already written, because obviously it plunders God's people when they don't realize what God's done for them, you know? Yes?
Okay, question on that. You had mentioned about if anybody takes away or adds, the plagues will come upon them.
Yes.
Let's take case in point of the Mormons. Okay, they bring in Joseph Smith. Are they going to suffer the physical plagues? Is that what he means by saying plagues?
He just said the plagues of this book, you know.
Which are locusts and sores?
No, plague. Plague here does not necessarily mean... It just means a blood to be smitten, you know, with a curse, is what he's talking about there. It could be sickness, it could be demonic possession, it could be oppression, it could be a curse on your family, in your bloodline, in your, you know, on your house, on your property, on your animals, or it could be anything. Because literally Deuteronomy 28 speaks of the curse, and it covers everything. Everything bad that ever happened to man is listed under the curse in Deuteronomy 28. But in Galatians 3 and 13, God said he put all of that curse upon Jesus Christ. In other words, he not only bore our sin, he bore the penalty for our sin, which is the curse. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 2 and 24 tells us that very plainly.
So in other words, if anybody who does add, no matter what sect of religion they're in, that's going to happen.
Well, you understand, if you got a sickness, but you've been told by some man, not by the word, but by man, that healing is not for today. It passed away. Well, that is adding to the word and taking away from the word. And when you do that, that curse is going to be upon you, because Jesus said the condition for healing was faith. So when you've got ministers going out there telling people, you can't be healed because that happened in those days to start the gospel, and now that all passed away with the apostles. What they have done is they've brought a curse upon you and upon themselves, because they don't believe the promise that delivers them from the curse. It's real simple. And let's say sickness is a curse. Some people say sickness is beneficial and a part of God's will, and we should say, if it be thy will. Well, if that was true, let me read this verse and we'll look at that. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Well, that came right out of Isaiah 53. And it says, by his stripes you were healed. However, some people say, well, that's just talking about spiritual healing, not physical healing. But if we go back and we look in Matthew chapter 8, we find out that that's not true. Because it says very plainly, quoting the same chapter in the next verse, that that's talking about physical healing. Matthew chapter 8. And Matthew 8, verse 16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons. Of course, a lot of religions today say that was just Jesus acclimating himself to their superstitions. But the problem is, there's still lots of demons around today. And they do a lot of damage. And sickness is one of those damages. And he cast out the spirits with the word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. So Jesus plainly pointed out that deliverance from demons and healing the body is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, not just spiritual healing. And another point, if it was good for people to stay sick, how come God sent His Son? The Bible says in Acts that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. In other words, if God is with us, we're going to be doing the same thing. In fact, the Bible says He went forth and confirmed the word that those disciples spoke with signs and wonders following. Now, if it was good for people to keep sickness, I'm not doubting that sickness has its worth in that many times sickness drives us to the Lord. Many times sickness drives us to repentance. But I'll tell you something else that really affects us. Find out that God loves us so much that He healed our body. Because I've seen a lot of people get healed and their life turned around after they got healed because they were so appreciative of what God did for them. And an example, if it's God's will that some people keep sickness, then why does it say this over and over and over in the Bible? Matthew 4 and 24. And the report of Him went forth into all of Syria, and they brought unto Him all that were sick, holding with divers diseases and torments, possessed with demons and epileptic and palsy, and He healed them. And there went, and there followed Him great multitudes from Galilee. Well, here's another reason for the healing, is because great multitudes followed and listened to the gospel, because God was confirming His word with these signs and wonders. But if all of the people that came forth out of Syria to be healed and the Lord healed them, don't you suppose there wasn't some people in there that needed that sickness according to the doctrines that we hear today? There must have been somebody there that needed to be sick. But it didn't. And Jesus couldn't have been doing the will of God by healing everybody there. But it says this over and over and over. We just read Matthew 8, which says the same thing. It says, and He healed all that were sick. Matthew 8 and 16. And chapter 9 and 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. So again, 12 and 15. And Jesus perceived it, withdrew from thence, and many followed Him, and He healed them all. And chapter 14 says something very similar in 35. And when the men of that place knew Him, they sent into all that region round about and brought unto Him all that were sick. And they besought Him that they might only touch the border of His garment. And as many as touched were made whole. And it continued after this. Acts, where the disciples after Him continued on walking in His steps.
David, what about Matthew 10 and 6, where we're commanded to heal the sick?
That's right. We are commanded.
Cleanse the lepers and raise the dead, cast out demons.
That's exactly right. Acts chapter 5 and verse 16. And there also came together the multitudes from the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Healed every one. And verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. But of the rest durst no man join himself to them, albeit the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that as Peter passed by, at least his shadow might overshadow some of them.
David, I was thinking of one said that it's called the children's bread.
Called the children's bread, that's right. Of course, the Lord wouldn't deny his children their bread, right? So if Jesus healed them all and he sent his disciples out to do the same thing, and it very well appears that they did do just that, and of course they were to go out and make disciples to go out and do the same thing, because a disciple is not a disciple of men. It's a disciple is a disciple of Jesus, and the word for disciple, mathetes, means a learner and a follower. You're a student of his in order to follow in his steps and do what he commanded. So his disciples did that, and they passed this on faithfully, and disciples after them passed it on faithfully. But like I said, before long there was a great falling away. Exactly what Paul said would happen, happened. And today, God is restoring his people to these awesome secrets and awesome blessings and provisions. And he still heals all that are sick. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that the Jesus who lived in that first body and healed the sick also manifested himself in his disciples and healed the sick. And he still manifests himself in disciples today and heals the sick. You know, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those words that Jesus spoke got into his disciples, so much so that Jesus lived in them, and he spoke out of them, and he acted through them, and he laid hands on the sick through them. And those disciples who absorbed his spirit also passed on that spirit to people after them who did the same thing all the way down to our day. Actually, it's never stopped. Except in the majority of what's been called Christianity, it has stopped. But it's never really stopped. All the way from the beginning of history until now, there's been a thread of people who believed exactly what Jesus said. They believed it was for today. They acted upon it. They saw signs and wonders and miracles. And that's never really ceased. People say it ceased. And there was a great falling away. And religion did destroy a lot of God's Word, because they added to it and took away from it, and pretty much brought curses upon themselves for doing that. Because obviously, if you don't realize that the Lord healed your body at the cross, by his stripes you were healed, then you got to get healed. And if you got to get healed, then you have to go to some method to do that. And of course, what the Bible says is the method has already been solved. Mm-hmm. The Lord already healed us at the cross. By his stripes you were healed. Of course, Peter was looking back at what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, and Isaiah was looking forward to the coming Jesus and his healing power and deliverance. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah looks forward to it, but Peter looks back, and Isaiah said in verse 4, surely he hath borne our... Various Bibles have different words here, but however, this word here is the word sickness. It is the word coli. And other places, it's strange how people's doctrine... This is one reason why you have to check out words. You cannot trust translators, because their doctrine gets in there. It's a very strange thing that everywhere else in the Bible they translated this word sickness, and yet when it comes to divine healing, they translated the same word, griefs. So people say you shouldn't have to worry about the Greek. You ever hear people say that? Especially the KJV only people. Don't worry about the Greek. We don't want to pay attention to that. Well, first of all, you'd be losing a gift here if you didn't look to find this out. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our, mine says sorrows, but the word is pain, makob. It's translated pain other places in the Bible. So he bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. He took away our pain. I've been healed. I've been delivered of pain so many times by just claiming that verse. Nobody can tell me that that verse doesn't mean exactly what it says, because he's taken away my pain so many times just by claiming that verse. And heal my body by claiming that verse. And the truth is, Peter quoted this verse, and he quoted it correctly in 1 Peter 2:24. Yeah, and Matthew chapter 8 is quoted correctly. And verse 5 says, "And he was wounded for our transgressions." He was wounded. "He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Now, Isaiah said, "are healed," but Peter, looking back at the cross, said, "were healed." And both of them are the Word of God, because Isaiah was looking forward to the cross and Peter was looking back at the cross. So, the thing is, while God's people, many of them are running around looking for healing, it's already been provided. So many people are trying to talk God into healing them, or praying a lot to try to talk God into healing them. But the Bible says He already did that. He did it at the cross, just like He took away our sins at the cross. He took away the penalty for our sins at the cross. And He always connects sin with its penalty in the Scriptures. But for some reason, religious people like to separate the two. If you look, for instance, in Psalm 103, very plain, and it says in verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." That's awesome. "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." Now, when Jesus came along, that's exactly what He did. He healed all their diseases. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only difference is now He lives in the body of His people who believe Him. And the Bible says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" The people who believe these verses, the Lord Jesus Himself can speak through them to command healing and deliverance and blessing and so on and so forth. If they don't believe the verse, well, of course, they're going to resist the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit couldn't speak through them or use them in that regard, maybe something else, but in that regard, the Holy Spirit would not use them because they don't agree. And today, the people who are agreeing with Him and walking by faith are seeing the same signs and wonders that they saw back in those days. And we're going to see even greater, because we're coming to a great time of healing, a powerful time of healing and deliverance and provision and signs and wonders of every kind. Jesus did say, some people say, well, it's just the faith of the one praying, but that's not true either. You know, Jesus said, "If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven." And that's Matthew 18:18-19. But Jesus gave as a condition. You know, remember He said, "These signs shall accompany them that believe." There's a condition there. But also to the one receiving, there is the same condition, because Jesus said, for instance, in Matthew 8:13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And He made the same statement in many different ways. Matthew 9:2 says, "And beholding, they brought unto Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven." And of course, He healed him. But He said, seeing their faith. The thing that Jesus used as His cue to know when to pray and believe or command or speak by faith was the faith that he saw in these people. And again, in the very, in the end of the chapter, he says, I'm going to read verse 18, 19, 20. It says, verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him. Why did he follow him? Because this man expressed faith. He said, you come lay your hand on her, and she shall live. He spoke his faith. He acted out his faith. And that's why Jesus got up and followed him. And behold, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the border of his garment. For she said within herself, look, her faith was being expressed, if I do but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. The word there is literally sozo. It means, it's the word saved. By grace have you been saved. That's the word saved right there. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, a gift from God. So she expressed her faith, and she expressed it by acting, because she decided she was going to go touch the hem of his garment. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, she's in her mind, she spoke her faith, but with her body, she acted it out by reaching out, catching up to Jesus and reaching out and touching the border of his garment. And Jesus said, her faith made her whole, or her faith saved her. Again, even further down in the chapter, verse 27, and Jesus passed by from thence, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they say unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. According to your faith be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened. Now we know Jesus had faith. He always had faith. Because we know that because everybody he touched was healed. But when we pick out, when the Lord picks out for the Bible, for an example to us, these instances, and points out and describes the happenings surrounding this healing, he points out that there's always faith there. And so when he met these people with faith, I agree that some of their faith had to do with sight, because they saw Jesus healing the sick. And they knew if he laid his hand on them, they would receive. You know.
What about the guy in, I think it's in Luke, somewhere in Luke, where he says, I believe, but help my unbelief?
Help thou mine unbelief. That's right. So, I mean, that's one thing we can pray too. We may believe just a little bit, but we can ask the Lord to help our unbelief. And God will certainly do that, because by grace have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. However, Jesus did rebuke his disciples sometimes, calling them, O ye of little faith, meaning they had the gift of God, but they weren't using it. You know, I mean, we can listen to our mind, and we can listen to the devil and lose what God wants us to have. The disciples said, why could we not cast it out? Talking about casting a demon out. And he said, because of your unbelief. Meaning that there was something in them that was stopping God from being able to use them to bring this healing. Yeah, Mike?
Well, that's a question of Matthew chapter 28. That's when Jesus found the disciples, and the sick still came back to Jesus because the disciples couldn't heal them. Jesus got upset with that.
Yes.
And they came to him. And what was the problem? Is that what you're talking about? That was the problem the disciples had?
Well, yes, they did have some faith. In their training, and their being raised up, and in the...
Yeah, because Jesus was upset with that, because...
Yeah. he said, how long shall I bear with you?
Yeah, yeah.
And he told him to bring the man to him. And so he prayed, and the healing came fast. But the thing was, he was dealing, the Bible calls it an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews chapter 3. We're dealing with our past life and an evil heart of unbelief. And we need to renounce it as though it was a sin, because 1 Peter 2:24 says that the Lord bore our sins. He did bear unbelief too. And we need to claim that. You know, the way you can deal with unbelief is fight with it. Some people appease it. They give in to it. They listen to it. And they get fear because of that. But what you got to do with unbelief is you got to fight with it. You got to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and come against it. Because the Lord bore the sin of unbelief for us too. He took away our unbelief, and He gave us His faith. On the cross, He made an exchange. You know, and that exchange meant that He gave us His blessing and His life, His healing, and He took away our cursing and our sinfulness and our sickness. Yes, Kurt?
Isn't there a scripture that says, have the faith of God?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Mark 11 and 22 says that. Mark 11 and 22. Jesus was actually commanding His disciples to have the faith of God. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. However, the original says, have faith of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. And we're witnesses that this is still true today, aren't we, folks? And therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. Now that covers a lot, that all things whatsoever. What does that leave out?
Nothing.
He said, therefore I say, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, or literally, received them, it's past tense, literally, and you shall have them. The numeric says, have received, it's past tense. Why does he want us to believe that we have received? Because it happened at the cross. It's not happening now, it happened then. We're accepting our healing, our deliverance, our provision, our blessing, we're accepting it as having happened at the cross. And so he teaches us, this is faith, by the way. Nothing else is faith. Faith is believing that you have received. Faith is calling the things that be not as though they were. That's faith. Looking for God to do something in the future, that's hope. And the Bible doesn't say hope saves us, but it says faith does. Hope is very good. You know, if you've got faith, you definitely have hope. But not if you have hope, you don't necessarily have faith. And faith is the secret that God gives to His people, the secret of power, the secret of receiving His benefits. And faith calls the things that be not as though they were. That's past tense. That's Romans chapter 4. So, we're claiming that it was done. Our sins were taken away. Our bodies were healed. This was all accomplished at the cross because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. However, notice the condition in Mark 11, 22 through 24 is again faith. The condition is again faith.
That's the commonality in everything happening so far.
I think the numeric says, have God's faith. Have God's faith in verse 22. Not have faith in God, but have God's faith. See, he's talking about not your faith in God, but God's faith in you. You understand what I'm saying? God's faith in you doing the work. Not your faith in God doing the work. So they got it turned around a little bit here. The translator's got it turned around because the numerics is definitely right. Have God's faith.
I was just going to say that in a Bible study I was in here on 10-22-97, you had us to change have faith, and I wrote in Oz, God.
have the faith of God.
Yeah.
And the numeric says, well, that's exactly what it means. Have God's faith.
Have faith of God. It's Christ that's in us.
That's right. That's
exactly right. We can have everything He had because He's in us.
You know, He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And He sent forth His disciples. And of course, those disciples went out and made disciples, sending them the same way that the Father sent them, or that Jesus sent them. So, you know, you're right, Kurt. It is Jesus in us that does all of the work. But the Bible tells us in John 1:1 that Jesus is the Word. When we put the Word in our heart, then Jesus is able to speak out of us. In fact, He said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said." That's important. As the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, and they that believed on him were to receive. What is this river of living water? It was what was coming out of Jesus' mouth. Paul called the water the Word of God. And out of Jesus' mouth was coming healing and deliverance and blessing. And out of his disciples' mouth, the same thing. It was coming out of them. Why? Because what was going into them was the Word of God, and what was coming out of them was the Word of God. In fact, look at that. John chapter 7? Yes. This is so neat. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So first is going in. What are they drinking of? They're drinking of his words. Water, washing of the water with the Word of God. They're drinking those words in. Then the next verse says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." So here it comes back out. They're drinking it in. And it's coming back out. And, you know, the river of living water in Revelation 22 that came out of the throne of God. And passed the tree of life. The Bible says the tongue of the righteous is the tree of life. Right? Was for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. Revelation 22 and 3. So the river of living water which came out of the throne of God, the throne of God is our heart. And the tongue of the righteous is the tree of life. Can you imagine? Think about it. This river of living water coming up out of the throne of God in your heart, coming past your tongue. What could that be? Words of life. And he said it was for the healing of the nation. Now, if we don't come to Jesus and drink the pure, living Word of God that God said will not come back void, then what comes out of us is not going to be that river of living water. You know, it's going to be the thoughts of men, the teachings of men, religion. And it doesn't have any effect. It doesn't bring healing. It don't bring deliverance, you know. My life has totally changed. Getting this revelation when I was a baby Christian. The reason I got this revelation when I was a baby Christian was because I had been in religion that didn't teach the Bible. And I didn't know the Bible. And when I picked the Bible up and started reading the Bible, I believed it. And I didn't have anybody around me telling me, "You're misunderstanding that. That passed away with the apostles." I didn't have anybody telling me that. So I started believing it and started having miracles. I thank God that I wasn't raised up in a religion that taught me all that, and I had to overcome that. I just started praying for my children and praying for my wife and praying for people around me, and God was doing it. Well, like I said, I didn't have any upbringing in a religion that taught the Bible yes or no. You know, so I didn't have that religious denominational thinking in me at all. And today, if a person will, you know, Jesus said, if you don't come to me as a child, you're not entering the kingdom. See, we got to be like a child. When the Lord says it, we believe it, and that settles the end. We come to Him as a child, just like a child. You know how children accept what their parents... You can tell your children goofy things like Santa Claus, and they believe you. You know, children believe. They believe what their parents tell them, you know. Until they get a little older, then they get a little cynical, especially teenage years, you know. But when you're talking about a child...
No, not teenagers.
Children, huh?
I said, no, not teenagers.
Well, when you're talking about a child, children come to their parents and they believe what they say. They can tell them all kinds of fairy tales. Yeah. They'll just believe it, you know.
That's what happened to your teenagers.
Now, teenagers, they just get a little stroke of that rebellion. They want to be their own people after that. Yeah. But also, the Lord uses that.
And they get to the point where they think they know more than you do.
Yeah. But anyway, we can't be like that with God. We can't say we know more than He does. And like teenagers do, we can't say. And for us to have a different doctrine and teach different things than what's in His book is idolatry. It's sheer stupidity. It's saying, God, I know more than you. You know, I mean, this... You know, and if you got a doctrine like it all passed away with the apostles, then you got to have a verse to go along with that. Well, nobody's ever been able to point out that verse. Because there is no such verse.
That's a go by sight.
Because what happened is they just lost it. And they've got to have an excuse for why they lost it. They just lost it. The truth is we've got to get back to the Word. The Bible says...
Even if it said that it went away with the apostles haven't gone away.
Well, that's another one of their doctrines.
Right.
Did you know that in the Bible, I'm not trying to go astray here from our original thought, but in the Bible there is listed 25 apostles. Excuse me, 24 apostles. There is listed at least 24 apostles. When you look at the same Greek word, apostolos. Now, because of theology, theologians changed that word in certain instances, and they didn't use apostolos. They put
saints or something like that?
No, messengers.
Or messengers.
Things like
yeah.
that. So, but the truth is, when you use the same word, the same way, every time, you can count. 24 or 25. I think it's 25, but there's at least 24. Mm-hmm. Okay? Listed there. So, you're right there. The apostles did not pass away. Except for the religions that believe they did. Because they don't get the benefit of apostles because they don't believe in them. You know?
Right.
And they don't get the benefit of healing because they don't believe in that either. So that's the great thing. We need to get back to God's Word and put aside all of our traditions. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had degenerated into the place where they were doing the same thing the church is doing. He said, you have made of no effect the Word of God by your traditions. And the church is so full of that spirit that they think they know more than God. They're not coming as a child. They're not accepting it just because the Lord says it. And so they're confused. So today, the truth is, the people that believe the Word are receiving the same signs. Jesus said, John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Why that? Because he said if he went to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. He called him another comforter. And the Holy Spirit came into the lives of the believers, recreating in them the life of Christ. And of course, we invite the Holy Spirit to be in us that comforter that Jesus was. By the way, did you know Jesus was also called a paraclete? You know, because Jesus said, another comforter, another paraclete. The Holy Spirit is another paraclete. But Jesus was the first paraclete. And so, the paraclete, his job is to take of mine and declare it unto you, Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit's job is to take of what was Jesus's and give it to us. Give it up, speak it into us. And so the Holy Spirit is raising up in His body that believes the Word of God, the body of Christ. Now what would you think the body of Christ would do? I mean, if you didn't have any religion, and you knew what the first body of Christ did, what would you think the corporate body of Christ would do?
Even more.
Even more, because it's bigger, right? Instead, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So we begin. If you begin to think of yourself as the body of Christ, and we find out in Hebrews 13 and 8 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if you are the body of Christ, then Christ must live in you. And if Christ lives in you and He deals with people the same, and it is an eternal covenant, by the way, Hebrews 13 also says that. He called it eternal covenant. It means it never was to change. Men were never permitted to change this covenant. Okay. So it's an eternal covenant. Nothing's changed in the covenant. Jesus now lives in a corporate body, so He can go to the whole world. Think of yourself as the body of the same Jesus who walked in these Gospels. If you can't do that, if you can't think of yourself in that way, you can't be used in that way. See? When we begin to see ourselves the way the Bible commands us to see ourselves, let me say, does it make you greater that you're the body of Christ? Or does it just magnify Him? Some people say, well, that's pretty audacious to think you're the body of Christ. Well, the Bible's full of it. The body is not the part that brings the healing and the deliverance. It's the spirit that lives in the body, right?
Well, we're supposed to be dead anyway, so that ain't us.
We're dead, exactly. The Bible says you're dead to sin, but alive unto God. So it is Christ who lives in us that does the work. We can take no credit for that work. We are simply a vessel through whom He speaks and lives and acts. But we're thwarting His job if we're not doing what He commanded us to do. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're thwarting His will. His will is still to go and heal the sick, to cast out devils, to bring salvation to God's people. And if we have a different doctrine, we have thwarted Him. We have brought a curse on ourselves because we're not going to have His benefits. We're not going to have His benefits. And He provided these benefits in order to give them to the whole world. And yet, the church has accepted the traditions of men. The devil is very sly. And the devil did the same thing to the church that he did to Judaism. They had apostatized, fell away from the truth, were not partaking of God's benefits. And Christianity has done the exact same thing. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 that everything that happens to the Jews happens to the church. Now, it may have happened in a different way, but it's still happening. As a matter of fact, when God turned away from the Jews and turned to the Gentiles, He's basically giving us a sign that He's going to do the same thing to the church. The people that have claimed to be believers, if they continue on in unbelief, there's coming a time when God's going to restore all this stuff to the church. He calls it the latter rain. And when they continue to speak against the Word of God and the signs and wonders, God's going to turn away from the Gentiles and turn back to the Jews. So He's basically going to, again, repeat what happened in Jesus' day. And it says when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that He's going to turn back to the Jews. So, basically, we don't want to be caught in the same place those Jews were caught in. They were speaking against the miracles of God. They told Jesus that He did His works by Beelzebub. Have you ever heard that in churches today? Healing the sick and casting out devils is done by the devil, or speaking in tongues is of the devil. I've heard it in churches today. They're doing the same thing those Pharisees did. You know? So it's sad, but they're not going to be permitted to do that much longer because we've now come to the end time. And if you remember, the end time in Jesus' day was when God said, okay, it's enough. I've heard enough of this. And He turned away from those Jews and He turned to the Gentiles. He basically broke them off of the olive tree and He turned to the Gentiles and grafted them into the olive tree. So, we're grafted into the olive tree. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That means the sap that flows through Him flows through us. The life that goes through Jesus goes through us. All we've got to do is abide in Him. You know, John chapter 15. If we abide in Him, I'll read that. John 15.
1.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. There's only one thing that can clean us. We've got to have the word, the true word of God. Abide in me, and I in you. Notice this. Abide in me. In other words, the branch has got to abide in the vine in order to receive the sap. And I in you. That's the sap. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing. We need his life in us. And when we absorb this word, we repent, we absorb this word becomes in us what the Bible calls Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our Lord Jesus wants to be in us healers and deliverers, and He wants us to be beneficiaries of His promises too, because when we believe, He heals our bodies. He delivers us from demonic oppressions and possessions, and His benefits are for us today. Anybody else got a testimony?
Hope means firm expectation.
Yes, a firm expectation. You know, like Bill saying, people today use the word hope rather flippantly. They think they hope for something that they're not going to receive, and they know they're not going to receive it. But in the Bible, the word hope means a firm expectation. You firmly believe that you will receive. However, the most important thing is faith, which is to believe you have received. And when we believe that at the cross, Jesus healed our bodies and took away the curse in every form, that's the reason that the disciples, I'm making full circle now, the reason the disciples did not ask God to heal people is because, and they commanded healing to people, is because they knew God had already done it. He'd already healed His people, already delivered them. They were simply being vessels to command it into the physical realm. That's all.
Why ask permission to do something you've already been given permission to do?
And commanded to do.
Right.
And you'll notice that Jesus did command the disciples to do this. And so they did. And they were to command the disciples that they raised up to do the same thing, all the way down to us. So we know that we can follow in the steps of Jesus and His disciples by merely doing the same things they did. You know, that's what discipleship is. Learner and follower. Now, we learn by observation through the Word of God, and we go and do likewise. And so God will use us. Anyone that believes these words, He will use them. Who's got a testimony to share with us?
Alisa, Alisa hasn't had an anxiety attack since we prayed for her 2 weeks ago.
Praise God.
2 weeks, yeah.
And you know what? We told you you weren't going to have, didn't we?
It's
too late. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. That's the way it works.
It's sort of a done deal.
See, now how could I tell you ahead of time that you weren't going to have this no more? It's only the Word of God, because the Word of God already says that, you see. With a lot of church people, they think, if it be thy will, Lord, you can never speak any bold faith when you believe that. And there's not one place in the Bible that it says that. When Jesus said, Lord, if you will, you can take this cup. And then the Father, of course, revealed to Jesus His will. And then the Lord said, thy will be done. Okay. In individual cases, Terry, you don't know where the Lord wants you to live, what house He wants you to live in, what city. that's an individual case. You need to get that from the Lord, right?
Right.
Okay. But when we read the Bible and it tells us corporately what He's already done for all of us, no matter where we live, then that's the Word of the Lord. And if we're believers, we're not going to depart from the Word of the Lord. There are things you need to ask God about. Lord, if You want me to do this, I'll do it. But when you read, by His stripes you were healed, and then you turn around and say, Lord, if it's Your will, you are an unbeliever. That's the whole problem. You are an unbeliever. Because you did not believe what you just read. You see? Yeah.
And your works have to cease as far as physical type things.
Yeah.
The works you do start is your faith.
Yes.
And your faith is believing what you what the Word says, and then you stop doing whatever you think you have to do other than just have faith in what the Word says.
That's it. When you believe, you believe. And when you believe, there's actions that go along with that belief.
Who was the king that the prophet told to go dip in the Jordan because he had leprosy?
Naaman.
And he thought that was an unworthy thing to do, him being a king, because the Jordan was dirty.
Yeah. But just obedient, wasn't it? He acted on the will, the revealed word of God, which came through the prophet.
Well, was it Nathan? I don't know who the guy was, but he says, well, if He told you to go do something different than that, you know, you would do it.
If He told you to come, go do some great thing, His servant said, you'd be glad to do it, you know. That's the thing. If we could do something to bring about our healing, we would want to do that. But the thing is, salvation is by grace through faith. Meaning, if it's unmerited and unearned and totally by the gift of God, you can't do anything to receive it. You can't earn it. You see? It's free. It's given to you free. You don't have to do anything to get healed. Nothing. These people in the Scriptures, all they did was come by faith. And God gave it to them as a free gift. Just like every other part of salvation is a free gift. But people want to earn it. It's self-righteousness in us that thinks we have to help God out. He doesn't need our help, and He don't want our help. He just wants us to believe, you know.
And it's just simple.
It is so simple, and God made it that way on purpose. God's promises, His deliverances, His provision can't be something that's only for the intellectual.
We make it hard on ourselves.
We do.
We're the ones that make it hard on ourselves.
Our intellect gets in our way, doesn't it? The thing is, our intellect gets in our way. It keeps us from receiving as a child what the Lord is saying here.
I remember when I first started coming to Bible study, I kept asking, is this all there is to it? All it says is, by His stripes I was healed. I mean, is that it?
That's it.
But because it was so simple, I didn't understand. It's like, that can't be it. You know? Or when Paul was talking about Christ and me, the hope of glory, he kept saying, I'm revealing this mystery. And I'm like, where is this mystery? I don't see it. And it's right there in front of me.
It's very simple. Why don't you share your testimony?
It is. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The drugs that he came off of just like that.
Yeah.
Well,
this is Terry now. He's going to share his testimony with you.
Back in 1999, August 25th of 1999, I was real stressed out, and I was talked into going to the Pavilion Mental Hospital here in town. And the doctors talked with me for a while and told me that I had major depression and I had high anxiety. And so I agreed with them. And they prescribed me two medications, Remeron and Buspar. And Buspar's main side effect was anxiety, and it's an anti-anxiety medication, but it caused more anxiety. And the Remeron was just the boost, or the Remeron was that. The Buspar was to boost the power of the Remeron. And then they gave me an antidepressant, and that caused more depression, and I kept it. So since I was having all these problems with the medication, they kept doubling it every couple of weeks until they got it to where
I was a zombie. And then I was having so many side effects from that, they added a third medication. And then after a couple of months of that, I had a fourth medication added. And they kept doubling and doubling and doubling until they almost killed me. Then they backed off, you know, 1 milligram a piece. And it didn't take long. Matter of fact, that was August 25th of 99 when I was in there. I saw the doctor for the first time in September. Got my first diagnosis late September, and I was put on disability in November of that same year. And off and on for 4 years, I kept going in and out of the hospital wondering what was wrong. Every time I went in there, got a new medication, and my wife would come in and want to leave town, you know, when I got home, because she knew what it did to me. It just threw me into a loop. So when I came this last time, my mom prayed for me 2 years ago that I'd come out of the mental hospital and that I'd be healed. And I was fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And I had two people in the mental hospital. One person gave me some verses to read, and another person asked me if I wanted to read his Bible. And I still didn't want to do it, but yet the Lord kept drawing me. And then the words came out of my mouth when my mom came and visited me during visiting hours, and the words came out to ask for a Bible, and I couldn't believe I had asked that question. I was like, what am I doing? And sure enough, I started reading the New Testament just night and day. But then I got out of the hospital, and I still didn't understand anything that I was reading, and came here, and we were talking about healing, and I was like, is that it? All you got to do is believe that by His stripes you were healed. And I made a decision that the Lord put in my heart that I wanted to be a Christian, but not just a halfway Christian, but an all the way Christian. Go, you know, everything, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, be saved, everything. And that night, and I didn't even know I was talking as slowly as I was talking back then. I was told how slowly I was talking, and I didn't even realize it.
You were doing everything slowly.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it. I mean, in my own mind, I was doing things normal speed, but that's what happens when you're imprisoned in your own mind. You just don't realize the reality around you. And that night, they laid hands on me and cast out 14 demons out of me that night. It wasn't all, but it was what was needed to go further. And the next morning, later that night, David asked me, you know, if I believed, how would I act? Would I need the medications? And I said, no. And got up the next morning, I picked up my pill box because out of habit after 4 years, 4.5 years of it. And the Lord put it in my heart, well, you've been healed. You don't need that. So I threw them away, and not one side effect from any of that medication. And the doctors told me that if I was going to stop taking them, I had to be weaned off of it. And I just stopped cold turkey. And I told them, they said, well, you're going to die. And I said, that's okay, I've just been saved. So, you know, and they still deny the fact that I'm healed. They don't see it. They don't understand it. So I stopped going to them about a year and a half ago.
Actually, the doctor told your wife you'd never be healed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what's funny is my wife used to tell the doctor, don't tell him that he'll never be healed.
Yeah.
And then finally he convinced me, and then he convinced her, and then we both believed that I would never be healed. There was nothing that I could do. And he was right about that. There was nothing I could do.
Nothing he could do either.
Right. There was nothing he could do either.
You know, you might have went to him with some demons, but by the time they got through with you, you had a whole lot more.
I had a legion.
And the thing is, what folks don't understand is just because it's a doctor-prescribed drug does not mean it won't open you up to demons just like alcohol or cocaine or anything else. Mm-hmm. It makes no difference. If you're taking a mind-altering drug, it'll open you up to demon spirits.
Aspirin,
if you don't believe it, folks, if some of you that are a little older, you go to some of these nursing homes and look and see if you ever saw anything like that when you were young. You understand what I'm talking about? There's a lot of people in there that are just totally out of their mind.
Yeah.
How did they get that way?
You know what's interesting too is they're out of their mind, they're old, they're feeble, or you think they are, but you try to restrain them and they have the strength of 10 men because they are so demon possessed.
Well, they've all got shoeboxes full of drugs that they're taking.
Right.
And that is not God's way.
No.
You know, God gives you free. How much do those drugs cost?
$1,076.
God really gives you His gift of healing. It is free. It costs nothing. You accept it by faith. Jesus never charged anybody, nor did He tell anybody to take any drugs. And His disciples the same way. It is free. And if it's not free, then it's not Him offering it. Some people say, well, today God does it this way. Well, then you have changed God's covenant, because He called it an eternal covenant. And He said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still dealing the same way with the same problem, and that is by faith. You know why? The reason God takes care of all these problems by faith is because you can get no credit for it. He's not sharing His glory with man. You see, if you do it by faith, you're not doing it by works. You're not doing it by your efforts. It's not salvation by works, your efforts, your money. It is by faith in Him. And so faith negates all of our own works. It gives all credit to God. And that's the way He prefers it. Sometimes He's merciful to ignorance. That's true. But we know His method. It's written in the book, and He hadn't changed it. And the Bible says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Not the faith they've got today. Not the apostate faith we see around us today. The faith that God gave to the apostles. That's what He said to contend for. Jude says that. The faith that was given to the apostles. Not the faith of our day. We're in the great falling away, folks, that the Bible spoke of. That the Apostle Paul spoke of. This is a great falling away. And the only way we can do anything about it to partake of the benefits of God is to drink, come unto Jesus, and drink that living water. And let it be in you a river of the water of life springing up. Okay?
I was thinking about something. We may have said this last time, or maybe not. Maybe something I just heard. But if you think about God, the Father sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross for our sins. If you think about it, if you have children and you sent your one and only Son to a world that hates Him to die for them, I mean, by not believing in what He did for you, what did Jesus die for? You know, what did He die for if you're not going to believe all what the Bible said?
Well, basically, in the case of a person that doesn't believe, Jesus died for nothing.
Right.
And, of course, you can imagine how that makes the Father feel.
Mm-hmm.
That His Son, in this case, in this instance, He died for nothing.
Right.
The benefit was there, but they couldn't partake of it because of unbelief. They wouldn't partake of it because of unbelief.
Yeah, Mark? Well, one of the things that Terry had mentioned about the world hating God, I mean, I see from my perspective, my point of view, I mean, the world hates this man.
Yes.
I mean, this country alone.
Yeah.
The majority is just unbelievable.
And even of His, you know, Jesus, it said of Jesus that He came unto His own and His own received Him not. It's still happening. It's still happening. He is the Word of God. He is coming to His own, and His own are receiving Him not. And so that's why we have to repent. The word repent means change your mind. The Bible, when it says repent, it doesn't mean repent and become a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist. No, that's not what He says change your mind to. He's wanting you to change your mind to the Word of God. Right? This is what we're supposed to think. Everything this says, we must think. We must believe. We must speak. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, when we believe that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, and we speak it out of our mouth, we're going to see the salvation, you know, and the deliverance and the healing and the so everything. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. That's what the Word says. And just the ministers that I was first associated with, they would ask that anybody receive Christ in their heart and they'd raise their hand and they'd make them make a public confession that they had received Christ, you know. And of course, there is something to that. You have to publicly confess what the Word of God says. If you don't, you really don't believe it.
I was saying, so God doesn't work through physicians as claimed by many?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, physicians are for people who do not believe that they were already healed at the cross. You know, I mean, and of course there's no condemnation. We're not condemning people for going to physicians. But what we're pointing out is, look, the Lord already gave you this free gift. All you have to do is accept it and it's yours. And if you're continuing, see, the thing is, when the Bible says by His stripes you were healed, if you continue looking for healing, what you're proving is you don't really believe that. And so a lot of people are looking for healing. They know that Jesus can heal, but they don't know the gospel, which is He's already healed. That's the gospel. The good news is you don't have to look for healing. You can just accept it as a free gift.
And then wait for it to manifest.
Huh?
And then wait for
it. And then wait. Stand still. Stand on your faith until you see it manifest.
Positive thinking.
Yes. Yes. Very positive thinking.
There was an interesting comment. You know, Kurt's talking about how easy it is, but we also know that it's not that easy sometimes to believe. But, you know, where it says to fight the good fight of faith. You know, fighting is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
But, I was just thinking about that, you know. When you just read the scriptures, I just believe and repent and all this and believe in your healing. That's the easy part. But fighting the good fight of faith is walking in that faith, believing you have received. That's the difference.
That's exactly right, because the devil is going to try to talk you out of it. People, well-meaning Christians, will try to talk you out of it. The devil, masquerading as Jesus, will try to talk you out of it. The truth is, it's been done, and we have to hold fast to the confession of our hope that it waver not, for He is faithful and promised. It's been done. We were healed at the cross. Why did you call for the elders if you were healed at the cross? Because you're taking a point in history saying it is done. See, the Lord is trying to get us to accept it is done. And so you pick a point and you focus your faith to accept it at that point is what you're doing. Baptism is like that. You're saying, okay, yes, I know the Bible says I was crucified with Christ, which is 2,000 years ago. But I'm picking a point in history here to make that confession that I receive it here and now. And the anointing with oil, you know, the Bible says if any of you is sick, call for the elders, let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. So you're picking a point to release your faith towards God. Now it's done. You release your faith. And from then on, you accept it by faith. And you don't let the devil talk you out of it. Once I learned this secret, I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. It's so simple. Don't ever disagree with the Word. If you disagree with what the Bible says, the curses of the book will be upon you. That's what he said. You can't get out from under the curses if you're disagreeing with God's Word. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to consistently agree with the Word. I learned that. I learned you had to act on the Word. I got healed so many times. My children, I raised 5 children, and none of them ever went to doctors. They were always healed. None of them ever took medicine. They were always healed. You know what? Jesus is just as consistent today as He was 2,000 years ago. He's just using a different body to do it. See, He's still just as consistent a healer. And if He healed them all then, and the Bible says He's no respecter of persons, then He heals all today. The only thing that blocks that is unbelief. If people do not believe it, they don't receive it because he made that condition. You have to believe it. Now, the one doing the ministering should believe, and the one receiving should believe. Okay? And, of course, with Jesus, there was no problem with that because he was full of faith, wasn't he? And now with us, if that word lives in us, we'll have the same faith because faith cometh of hearing and hearing by the word. So, if we want that faith, we have to never disagree with anything the Bible tells us concerning healing or deliverance or whatever. If we don't disagree with that ever, we will have that faith. It's very, very simple because Jesus gave us his faith. Like it said, have the faith of God. Who spoke that? Jesus. Did it come to pass? Well, of course, he spoke it. But it only comes to pass for believers, those that agree and believe with what he says. So now, we can have all of God's benefits if we will just not depart from what he said. I've been severely tried in this, and the Lord himself has tried me. I know that. We're talking about healing cancer today. We want to pray today and receive a healing here. But I was healed of cancer 17 years ago. And I was severely tried in that I was given opportunity to accept something different. I started passing a lot of blood. And I knew it was something bad. But you see, at that time, I had been receiving healing consistently from the Lord for 14 or 15 years consistently from the Lord, and I knew the secret. The secret is, if the Bible says it, don't ever disagree with the Bible. Accept it as done. And by his stripes you were healed. So I started passing on his blood. I prayed a simple prayer of faith, and I kept on going. I didn't even tell anybody. You know, I went across town to a place where there was a Bible study. It was actually in a Bible bookstore on the other side of this town. It's called Divine Bible Bookstore. And the lady that ran that store was a strong believer. Her name was Ann. And Ann had another lady that came in there to pray with her sometimes. And they prayed for different people. And they were praying for me, even though I hadn't been to that store in a long time. She had remembered me and she was praying for me. And they prayed for me. And I happened to go by there the next day. You know, the Lord, I was just going by to look at the books, you know. On the other side of town, there's a bookstore a lot closer, but I went over there the next day. And when I went there, Ann walked up to me and she said, David, we've been praying for different preachers that we know, and we prayed for you. And the Lord spoke to us. And the Lord said that you were having a wrestle with the spirit of cancer, but that you were going to win. And I told her, I said, well, Ann, I thank you for that. I believe that the Lord had already told me that because I asked him about that passing of the blood and the Lord, and I felt the word cancer come into my spirit. And so I thanked her, and of course it was another encouragement because the Lord said I was going to win the battle. You know, it's not that it's not already done. The thing is, you're fighting the battle here and now to agree with the Word of God. The devil's trying to talk you out of it. He's trying to give you all kinds of reasonable reasons why you can't really believe that God will do it this time. You know? If you don't believe God will do it this time, then the devil will talk you out of it. As long as you've got a loophole, he will talk you out of it. But here's the thing. It has nothing to do with God doing it this time. Has to do with the fact that Jesus did it already 2,000 years ago. By his stripes you were healed, you see? And the devil's trying to talk you into receiving something other than that. So, on my way home, I said, Lord, when I get home, I'm asking you to give me a word out of the Bible concerning this cancer. Well, you know what? Here's the first thing I'm going to tell you. Is God's already given you a word. He said, by his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And Matthew chapter 8, self bear our infirmities, carry away our diseases. You already have a word. If you ask for another word, you might get another word. So here's what happens. I went home and I took my Bible and I flipped my Bible open and stuck my finger down blindly. And it said, "Thou shalt die and not live." Ooh, that's not even what I wanted to see, Lord. "Thou shalt die and not live." See, if God said something, you don't have to ask Him again. If He said it, and you don't have to ask Him again. Stuck my finger, "Thou shalt die and not live." And I thought on that a minute, I says, "Now wait a minute. That isn't what you showed me, Lord, in the Word. You showed me that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, that He already healed me at the cross." I said, "Lord, I don't accept this." I said, "I don't believe You want me to accept this, because it's not according to Your Word." I said, "Now I'm asking You to give me something according to Your Word, according to Your covenant with me, which I know You will not change." And I flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down blindly, and it said, "Thou shalt live and not die." That's an awesome God there. Now look, the exact opposite. The only two places in the Bible that's in there. "Thou shalt live and not die." I said, "Thank You, Lord. I accept that." You know, because the Lord tried Abraham. He took him to Mount Moriah and He told him to sacrifice his son, all the time knowing that he was going to sacrifice his son so that Abraham wouldn't have to do that. And Abraham was tried and went to Mount Moriah, and lo and behold, the Lord provided Himself a lamb caught in the thicket, right? Caught in the thorn bush. And the Lord tried me. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Don't accept anything for what the Word tells you. Even if you think God's telling you, don't accept anything, because the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." See, God cannot lie. When He says something in His Word, you can count on it, you can depend on it, and if you ask Him to tell you something else, be careful. You know, that happened to Balaam. The Lord spoke to Balaam, and He told him, "No, you can't curse them. They're blessed." And somebody came along to offer him more money. So Balaam went back to the Lord to ask Him again. He didn't believe what the Lord told him the first time. And the Lord said, "Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. And when he went to, got on his mule and went, well, the angel of the Lord was there ready to kill him. If his donkey hadn't stopped, he would be dead.
He even had to speak to him.
and even then, he was so stupid, he didn't understand his donkey was talking to him.
Can you comment on God not sharing the glory with doctors and healing?
Yeah, but I want to finish my testimony.
I know, but I'm just saying this is coming up.
Okay, remind me of that. But anyway, so I did accept what the Lord told me, which was, "By His stripes you were healed." And I had one brother over in Louisiana. We had gone over to Louisiana to visit over there. I had one brother pray for me. That's all. Just one brother just agreed with me in prayer that I was healed over in Louisiana. And you know what? From the time I stubbornly refused to accept anything but the fact that I was healed. I didn't look at the blood. I didn't pay any attention to the pain. I didn't pay attention to none of that. I stubbornly refuse to accept anything but what the Bible says, because the Bible says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. The worldly people, the people of the world, walk by sight, but the people of the kingdom walk in the Spirit. You know what it is to walk in the Spirit? It is to believe only what the Word of God says. Deny your very eyes to believe what the Word of God says. This is the secret. So, I knew that because I'd been healed for 14, 15 years. All of my children had. Didn't matter. We had broken bones. We had every kind of sickness you can think of. We didn't get out of a lot. I can't say we did get out of a lot. But we did have those things. And God consistently healed us because we were stubborn enough not to accept anything but what His Word said. And so from that day forward, as long as I didn't accept anything but the Word, I got better and better and better until the symptoms totally went away. And I was healed. And it's that way every time. I've had broken arms. I've had glaucoma. I inherited from my parents very bad sinus problems. I don't have any of that anymore. My arm was broken on a motorcycle. About 19 years ago, I was going to work on my motorcycle, and I got to an overpass in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, going over another road. I got to the bottom of this overpass, and a car in front of me at the foot of this overpass slammed on its brakes, turned sideways, took up two lanes, and here I am cruising along on my motorcycle at 70 miles an hour. And there was no way I could stop. He was right in front of me. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth, is that for the previous week or two before this, I kept seeing a mini vision in my mind. It wasn't with my eyes, it wasn't an open vision, but I kept seeing this little thing in my mind. I saw myself about to hit a car on the interstate. And what happened in this little mini vision is when I was about to hit this car, I stood up on my motorcycle and plowed into the car. And the funny thing was, I had this three times, and here I was going down the interstate, about to hit a car, and I suddenly stood up on my motorcycle. It's like God had programmed me to stand up. And I stood up on my motorcycle, and I plowed into this car that was sideways at the bottom of an interstate ramp. I plowed into this car, flew over the car, and I landed on top of that overpass. I'm telling you, I flew through the air. I was going 70 miles an hour, and I flew through the air. Buried my bike up in this car. Landed on top of this interstate ramp. And I literally, when I landed, I didn't have a helmet on. There was no helmet law back then, you know. Didn't have a helmet on. And when I hit the concrete, literally hit the concrete with my head, my face, my arm is what hit first. I hit the concrete, I turned blind because evidently I had some kind of a concussion or something because I couldn't see a thing. Literally, I was blind. And my arm was hurting real bad because I had broken my arm. And the first thing that happened to me was, I'm telling you the truth, the Spirit of the Lord came on me and I started worshiping the Lord. I started praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. I started thanking the Lord. And while I was laying there, the first thing I did, by the way, was I knew I was on an interstate ramp and I thought maybe cars were coming, so I rolled over until I touched the concrete abutment on the side of the road there. And I just laid there praising God and thanking God. And while I was praising and thanking God, my eyesight started coming back. And by that time, the police officer had gotten there. And he walked up to me and started asking me some questions. He asked me, did I have my seatbelt on? So I looked at him. I was trying to look at his face and see if he was serious, you know. And when I realized he was serious, I got a little sarcastic with him. I said, listen, I was on a motorcycle. Motorcycles don't have seatbelts. And he just kind of turned around and walked away. And so an ambulance came and got me and picked me up off the concrete and they shoved me in the ambulance. And I talked to the ambulance, the guy in the back, and I said, can you take me home? I want to go home. He says, no, we can't take you home. We can take you to a hospital. Which one do you want to go to? I said, well, I don't care then. If you ain't going to take me home, I want to go home. Yeah. He says, no, we'll take you to the closest one. Okay. So I was working for Exxon at the time. Everything I did was free. Didn't matter what doctor I went to. Didn't matter what hospital I went to. It was all free. Every bit of it was free. That wasn't the point. I had never used them since I'd come to the Lord and received and understood healing. I'd never used their doctors. I'd never used their insurance. Okay? So they took me to the hospital, and I started witnessing to the nurses and telling them about the Lord's healing power. And they x-rayed my arm was broken. And on top of that, my lip was cut in two and my chin was cut through all the way to the bone. Okay? And so this is one time that I've been to a doctor in 30 years. Okay? And I haven't taken any medicine in 30 years. This is one time I went to a doctor. And of course they wouldn't give me any choice. But I went anyway. So they did. They wheeled me in there and took my x-ray. And in a few minutes I was in front of the doctor, and the doctor was saying that he was going to have to set my arm and do all this and do that. I says, nope. I says, I'm not going through that. I says, the Lord's got a lot better way to do this. I says, I've been healed by the Lord. And he said, well, we still need to set your... I says, nope. I says, I need to set my arm. I says, I don't want to wait for that method to receive healing. I says, nope, I'm not accepting that. So he said, you want to stitch up my lip and my chin? I says, nope, I'm not doing that. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I got a son that taught me a good lesson. His name's Nathan. Nathan scarred his head through to the bone three times. Twice, it was actually right beside each other. Yeah? And we prayed, and God stitched that boy up three times. And I said, nope, I ain't letting you stitch me up. You know? And then, they called Mary, and Mary came over there. And she took one look at me, and she said, David, I can't stand to look at that. Please let them stitch up your chin and your lip. I let them stitch up my chin. I didn't let them stitch up my lip. And I says, okay. So they did. They stitched up my chin. And here's what happened. They wheeled me over and set me in a car. I got home. I got my neighbor. Actually,